Morning. Always keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Someone that says Jesus is good all the time, I say he's good also every time. Thanking God for the church. Thank God for this morning that he woke us up out of our sleep. Didn't have to do it, but he did. And we want to thank him for that. And I thank the brethren once again for allowing me to come out and speak. I hope and pray that something said make you a better person for having come. Amen? This morning, I would like to speak to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 19. My subject is just in case. And it's taken from Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning at verses 16. And it reads, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man had heard that saying, he went away, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples had heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Just in case. We live in a just in case world. I know some may not understand it like that, but I really do. I see it like that, a just in case world. You know, just in case this don't work, I'm going to try something else. Example, just in case I just became a member of the church. But before I became a member of the church, I had bought a fifth of Jack Daniels. And I don't know if I want to throw it away. That's not me now. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I'm going to throw it away, and I'm going to just hold on to it just in case. You know, a family member might come over and need, amen? Just in case. My family had a remedy for the flu and a bad cold, you know. I may be able to use it, you know, hold on to it just in case. I'm not going to drink too much of it, but you know, maybe Christmas or New Year's, you know. But I'm going to hold on to it just in case. Amen? I used to gamble. I used to play poker. I used to play blackjack. I used to play pitty-pat. But I don't play those things no more. But I do play my numbers just in case. Amen? Because I remember one time I didn't play my numbers, and it came straight out. So I'm going to keep my numbers going just in case. I just got married, and I love my wife dearly. But I'm going to keep DD's number just in case it don't work out. Amen? We live in a just in case world, believe it or not. And when I look at this young man, he had a just in case nature about him, because it's like he was saying that when Jesus told him what he had to tell him, he was saying like you know, Jesus, maybe you didn't sleep good last night. Or maybe you was arguing with one of the apostles, or you know, you just because you didn't answer how I wanted you to answer, amen. So I'm gonna walk away just in case you don't know what you're saying, amen. And I stop by to say, when you walk away from Jesus, there ain't nothing else to go to, amen. Jesus was telling this young man that I am the answer. Jesus was telling this man, this young man, that I know who you are, and I have the answer. All you have to do is come and follow me. Well, this young man, he had a just in case attitude, just in case Jesus didn't know what he was saying. He walked away from Jesus. Because Jesus didn't answer the answer he wanted Jesus to answer it. Amen? Jesus answered it how it was need be answered. Amen? I remember Andy Griffith. You know Andy Mayberry. And Barney, you know Barney is the man. You know, him and Andy was in the office, and he was telling Andy that, you know, he know judo or whatever, right? And he told Andy, he said, you know, take a knife and, you know, stab at me like this, right? And I'll show you how to stop it. So Andy, he took the knife and and Barney went down. He went down. And he said, Andy, you ain't doing it right. He said, you got it in the wrong hand. You ain't doing it right. Amen. So we see that as being like, I want an answer, Lord, but I want the answer that I need. I want it answered my way. Are you with me? But Jesus was saying that I'm answering the answer the correct way, but you're just not getting it. And that's how some folks are. Now, I see some faces in here that wasn't in here before, but I want to say this again, right? You may hear me say we a lot. I am not speaking about you. Amen? I'm speaking about me and the rest of the people, right? I may say you, because sometimes, you know, when you get to the point, you say, you know, he's talking about me too much. Now, that's just it, you know. Hey, I'm not speaking about you. I don't know too much about you or anything. But you may hear me say we some this morning. Now, when this young man came to Jesus, in verse 16, he said, "And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, he went to Jesus, directly to Jesus, and he said, "Good master." He was correct. Jesus is the good master. Amen? He truly is the good master. But Jesus, Jesus knew this man before he was born. He knew this day was coming. And Jesus had something for him. Amen? And he said, "Good master." And this is what Jesus says. "Why callest me good master? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments." You see, this young man, he didn't go to Peter, he didn't go to Andrew, and none of the rest of them. He came to Jesus, and he said, "Good master." So that means he knew who Jesus was. So it would seem that if he knew who Jesus, that Jesus was the good master, it would seem that he will not have what? Walked away. Are you with me? But he came to Jesus, and like I said, Jesus knew who he was. Now, Jesus is not only called a good master, he's called the light, he's called the way, he's called the living bread, and he's also called the great physician. Now, you have some scholars may say that, well, you don't see it in the Bible, Jesus called great physician, but I see it. I don't know about you. I see it because when I read in the Bible, I see that Jesus healed the sick. Amen. I see him making a lame man walk. When I see Jesus, I see him cured a madman, a man who was deranged and acting wild. He cured that man. When I read, he restored the blind. Amen. The man was blind, and he made that man see. And when I read the book, it said that he raised the dead. So tell me that ain't a great physician. Amen? It got to be the great physician. And not a great physician, but the great physician. Amen? This man, Jesus was telling this man when he came, in actual, what I see is that, "Sir, you're sick." Amen? You got heart trouble. I'm the great physician. I could help you if you listen, if you just hear me. You're sick, and you need surgery. Amen. This man came directly to Jesus, but he wanted Jesus to answer like how he wanted to answer, not how he had needed the answer answered. And just in case. Like I said, he said, "You know, well, Jesus, I'm gonna go on because, you know, you might just had a bad night or didn't sleep good or, you know, because you ain't answering right. And I'm gonna walk away just in case because you're just not answering it right." But Jesus was telling him, you need surgery. Amen. You are spiritually sick. You have heart trouble. Amen. And he saith unto him, Jesus saith, "Thou shalt," you know, what the man said, "What should I do to inherit life?" Jesus told him, he said, "You know, thou shouldn't commit murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt have long life." Right? The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up, yet what I lack." And this is what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." And when he heard that, right, he said, "Jesus, you ain't answering this thing right, Jesus." You know, Jesus, you know I can't sell all I got. You know, that don't make sense, Jesus. It just don't make sense. I can't do that. So I'm going to leave just in case. Just in case. You know, I'm going to leave. But Jesus is telling this man, you're sick. You need surgery. Amen. You got heart trouble, and you need to cut it all out. Amen. You see, this book doesn't say that he said to sell all, but Luke said it, you know, and I believe he Matthew meant to say it, but he just forgot. But anyway, all, keep an eye on that word. Jesus said to sell all that you have. You see, when Jesus say all, guess what? He means all. Amen. If he say all, he means all. He don't mean 75%. He don't even mean 99.5%. He means all. Amen. But we remember now, we sometimes wanna say, Jesus, listen, you know, I know you say all, but I'm gonna give you such this much, right? And keep a little for myself. And you know, and Jesus, you know, you're Jesus, you should understand that. Amen. When Jesus say all, he means all. Amen. Give all. Oh, that's what he means. He said, Jesus is telling this young man, you need surgery. You need to get it all out of you, because you're in bad shape. If you don't, you're going to die. Amen. You need surgery, and you should get it all out. You're going to die. But he said, when the man heard this, he went away. And he was sorrowful because of what he heard Jesus said. Now, he went to Jesus. We can infer that he was saying now that I wish I had went to Matthew, you know, because Jesus just ain't answering this how I wanted to answer it. Amen. He's not answering. Actually, I could have went to Matthew or John or one of the other boys, you know, because Jesus, you know, but he came to Jesus, and Jesus gave him what he needed. But he didn't want what Jesus was giving. He would rather walk away from the remedy than to use the remedy. Amen. Amen. We are sometimes like that. We have the remedy, who is Jesus, but we walk away from Jesus. We walk away from him. And the Bible teaches that if you walk away, we sing this song sometimes, where could I go but to the Lord? Remember in the book when Jesus was speaking to the public, and he was saying that, he said, you would eat my flesh and drink my blood. And some heard that, and they said that was a hard saying. And because it was a hard saying, they did what? They left. Many left because of that hard saying. But Jesus asked his apostles, he says, would you also leave me? And they said this, where are we going? Where could we go? You are the remedy. You are the Savior. Where are we going to go? If we leave you, we're nowhere. Amen. If we leave you, we're without you, we're nothing. That's what he said. We're nothing. But some of us, are like that. You know, we just don't want to give Jesus the credit. We just think that we could do it ourselves. You know, we got it. You know, we've been doing it for so long by ourselves, Jesus, and we're going to be all right. You know, just when I need you, I'll call you. Amen. We're going to be okay. And I'm going to go ahead on just in case, you know, just in case, Jesus, that you, like I said, you must have had a bad night. You must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed, because that's not the answer that I'm looking for. Amen. That's not the answer, Jesus. But I know you are Lord, and you the good master and everything. But Jesus, I don't know about that. And I'm going to leave just in case. You know, I might come back later. You know, but I'm just in case you might change your mind. You know, you might tell me something else later on. But Jesus said like this, he says, oh, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that means he's not saying that you shouldn't be rich. Amen? He's not saying that. How many of you want to be rich? Okay. One person. Well, anyway, but one thing about having money, like I said to you before, we make money what it is. Money ought not make us what we are. Amen? Do you hear that? You see, but you know how the saying is, money don't make me, I make the money. But you have some people who are made by money. Amen? But we are supposed to make the money what it is. It shouldn't make us what we are. I like to, you know, like I said to you before, I like to even carry it on a little bit, right? It's just like the clothes that we wear. Some people, they think that they are made by the clothes that they wear. Are you with me? The clothes that they wear is, you know, make them what they are. But you got some people who make the clothes what they wear what it is. Amen? Are you with me? You know, it's like just like the house you live in. The house shouldn't make you what you are. You made the house what it is. Amen? But we have some folks who are in love with money and have made money their idol. Are you with me? They have made money over them instead of being over the money. I want to give you an example in Psalms 15, chapter 1 through 9. The Bible says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto the name give glory for the mercy and for the truth's sake. Psalm 115 and 1 through 9. 115, 1 through 9. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, and the work of man's hand. They have mouth, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nose have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Amen. We dig up the ore, we make the machines to make the money press. Amen. We go to the wood, we cut the tree down, and we make the paper to make the money. We make the money, then we turn right around and what? Worship it. Are you with me? We make the money shouldn't what? Make us. But there ain't nothing wrong with having some money now, because if you ain't got no money, you can't give. Amen? We in a time now that we need some money. Amen? Amen. You know, and if you got it, that's good. But don't love it. Don't let it make you. Don't let it be over you. Because money, see, the love of money, not money, but the love of it would cause you to lie, cheat, and steal. The love of it is the root of all evil, which while some have covered after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrow. You see, that's the love of it. And the book says, you know, warn them who be rich in this world. Amen. We went through this a couple of weeks. That this richness, being rich, you know, and loving it is the wrong thing to do. And this young man, he had love the money more than he loved God. And that was not good. Amen? Because when you walk away from, if and when you walk away from the remedy, what do you expect? Amen? You're going to be sick. Amen? If you don't take the medicine, you're going to be sick. Amen? Look what the book says. It says, and again I say, it is easier, verse 24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And, you know, years ago when I first read that, I said, wow, boy, that's heavy. And I was thinking about a needle, you know. Ain't no way in the world a camel can get through an eye of a needle, a regular needle. Am I right? Oh, yeah. It ain't no way. And I was thinking like that, right? But the book says it's easier for. So that means a camel can, you know, if it says that, right? But it's not speaking about an eye of a regular pin, a needle pin. You see, back in the days it was a gate that leads into the city. There was a big gate that led into the city. But that particular gate would be closed at a certain time. Amen? So there was a smaller gate, a smaller door called the eye. They called it needle. Amen? That if you come too late, you couldn't get through the big gate. You had to come through the needle. And it said that God, it was like a parable he was speaking about, right? So God is saying, you know, when the men would come late and they had to go through that, they would come with a camel that has a lot of stuff on him.
Yeah.
Amen? So what happened is the camel, the men had to take everything off the camel, and he just barely make it through that eye. Are you with me? The importance of this is that they had to take everything off to get in. Amen? They had to take it all off. Amen? For the camel to get in.
Yeah.
So what is it telling us, right, that in order for us to get to heaven, we can't take nothing. We have to take it all off. Are you with me? We got to take it all off. We can't take nothing into heaven. I told you this story before. A woman and her husband, they were speaking one night, and they were saying, you know, because they had some money. They said, you know, if I die before you, I want you to bury my money with me. So they said, okay, we're going to do that, right? We'll do that, right? So the lady, she told a friend of hers, she said, you know what? My husband said that when if he died before me, or if I die before him, if he died before me, he want me to take his half and put it in a coffin and bury it with him. She said, yeah. She said, you going to do it? She said, yeah, I'm going to do it. So sure enough, a couple of years, some years later, they said that the man died. And sure enough, when she went to her husband's coffin, she put an envelope in the coffin. And her friend seen it. So her friend said at the end of the funeral, she said, you really done that? He said, you really done it? She said, yeah, I wrote him a check. Amen. You see, we're not going to take this stuff with us. So Jesus is telling this man, you ain't going to take this stuff with you. He said, you know, take it, give it all away. Because this stuff got you sick. You are sick. You know, all of this stuff, you don't need to get rid of some of it. You need to get rid of all of it. You are sick. You're spiritually sick, you got heart trouble. But this man seen it, he saw it differently. He saw it differently. And he left and he walked away. And because he walked away, from the remedy. Amen? He walked away from the remedy. And you can't take it in. You have to take it off before you get in. It has to all of it has to be gone off. Because you can't take it in to heaven with you. Amen. And verse 25 says, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and saying, who then can be saved? For Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. You see, with God it's possible, but without God it's impossible. Amen. We need God more than we think we do, because for one, when we look at how our leaders is the direction they are going, amen. We need God, amen. We need God. We don't need the impossible. We need the possible. Amen. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, he was speaking to the disciples, to the apostles. He said, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. Now, verse 29 is speaking to us. It says that every one that has forsaken house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You see, one thing about the young man, what he done, he left too soon. If he had stick around for a while, he would have get the rest of the story. You ever been waiting on a bus? It ain't here yet, and you keep on waiting, right? You keep on waiting. It ain't here yet. Excuse me, people. It ain't here yet, and you keep on waiting. And as soon as you leave, guess what? The bus comes. Amen. You see, sometimes we have to have a little patience in our waiting, because it's important that we wait on the Lord. Are you with me? You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, we ask God something for something and it just takes so long. Amen? And we got to do it ourselves, you know, because God just took too long, you know. He must have been busy or whatever. He just took too long. And we got to do it ourselves. Amen? But this is what this man did. He left. If he had just stuck around just a little bit longer, he would have heard the rest of the story. Amen? He would have heard the rest of it. He says, God says, and everyone that has forsaken house, left house, or brethren, left sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. If he had stuck around, he would have heard that. He would have got the rest of the story, but he didn't. Amen? He didn't. And Jesus is telling us through this, it's not how much money you got. It's how much money you give. It's not what you know is what you show. Amen. It's not how long you've been in the church, because, you know, I've heard many people, I've been in the church for 50 years, you know, hear me now, that's a good thing. That God bless you, you know, for hearing God that many, you know, that long time ago and doing what he says, right? But it may not be just how long you've been in the church. It may be how much church is in you. Amen. You see, this young man said that from his youth up, are you with me? So that means he'd been in the church for a while, but this one thing, Amen? He couldn't manage that. You see, if he truly been in the church that long, he would have been able to manage that. Are you with me? Or if the church was in him, are you with me? He would have been able to manage, but he couldn't manage it because he just been in the church. Are you with me? And I'm not speaking about none of you. No, huh? Because I want to leave out here. I got one bad leg. I can't run. Amen. You know, so I don't want no trouble. Anyway, but you see, this young man, he had a just in case attitude. Just in case Jesus wasn't in his right mind. Just in case Jesus, had an argument, with one of the apostles. He didn't sleep good last night. I'm gonna leave, just in case. But when you leave the remedy, you are going to continue to be sick. Amen? When you leave Jesus, it's a terrible thing to do. You might leave me. I might leave you. Husband might leave wife. Wife might leave husband. You might even leave a congregation. Amen? But don't leave Jesus. Don't leave God. Amen. Don't leave him. Don't leave God, because if you leave God, where could you go? Where could you go? You see, where could you go? There ain't no place to go. I heard someone say it like this, right? It says, you could hide from the devil in God, but you can't hide from God with the devil. Are you listening? The devil can't hide you. No, because the devil's on the run too. Amen. He can't even hide. But you could hide from the devil in God. Amen. You can hide from the devil and his ways and his darts and in God, his safety in the Lord. You see, because God, he hasn't like that. God, he is God, and we have to truly believe that. You know, that's something that we have to believe. And if we don't believe that, we're in trouble. Amen. It's a belief that you have to believe. Amen. I hope something said that helped you today. You know, I hope that it helped you today. If you're here and you are not a member of the church, there's some things that you must do. That you must do. You can't get around it. You cannot get around it. You must do these things. You must hear God's word. You must believe God's word. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Yes.
You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God. You must come to worship. You must commune. You must sing. You must pray. Amen? You must fellowship. You must teach. You must preach. You must love. You must stay in the Lord. Amen. Because if you leave God, amen, you must stay faithful. You must stay in the Lord. Amen. These are some things that must happen, and you cannot get around it. You can't. We none of us could get around it. Amen. And that's 100%. That's all. Amen. And if you're here, and you are a member of the church, and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song, you may ask for prayers at this time. God bless you.